What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, successors? All right, welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones. And y'all, this is a morning show and we are live. We are live. We are live. Glad to have you all with us today. Today is Friday. Okay, it is Friday. So we got to relax a little bit. We got to kick back a little bit. And you know, just go into the weekend just feeling good, feeling great, feeling fired up, because that is what it's all about. And we're gonna go ahead and get ready to hop into the show. Don't want to waste much time on this Friday and getting things going. So without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and bring out our guest today. When you're in pain, okay, you need a solution and you want resolve. So what do? We phone Fred first, and I'm gonna go ahead and bring in today's guest. And he was on the show yesterday, but now we're gonna bring him back, right? We're gonna bring him back because we have the one, we have the only, Dr. Fred Jones, Attorney Fred Jones. Dad, how we doing? How we doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Fred. John. Good to be with you.
Glad to have you back. Glad to have you back. And as you know, the country has been talking about. We people have been talking about Marvin Sapp, right? Just what has taken place, and we're gonna roll a brief clip here and just let everybody in and let everybody know what's happening, just to bring some context, just in case you've been under a rock, you know, for the past week or so, and just in case you weren't aware of what has taken place, what happened. So I'm gonna roll a little bit of this clip right here, and then we're gonna go ahead and get into our conversation today.
The cost that is involved. There's 1,000 of you. I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors. We all gonna leave together. Y'all ain't going no place but to the restaurant. There's 1,000 of you tonight, and those that are watching. It's 1,000 that's watching online. This is a small seed. If I get 1,000 online to give this, if I get 1,000 in the sanctuary to give this, that's $40,000 tonight.
Okay, so we're going to pause right there. We're going to pause right there. And Attorney Jones, I'm going to kick you to rock. So, first, let me just recap and let me just break down what just happened. Okay, so Marvin Sapp is at a convention center, and this is the gathering of many religious leaders in this particular space. And from here, he is asking for 40K, and he's asking for people to give, and he's trying to get to 40K. Dr. Jones, Attorney Jones, can you just talk with us a little bit about the legal side of this here?
Yeah, John, good to be with you today. And this is always exciting for me when it comes down to the legal aspects of what we do here in this country, America. And unfortunately, the rules don't apply the same for everybody. There are different rules for different people. And in this particular situation, let's just jump into it, because as you know, I wrote a book on business law and ethics, developing analytical and critical thinking skills. And that book was for lawyers, judges, and accountants, or CPAs. So when it comes to the ethical aspect of the law, it's something that I really, really enjoy talking about and discussing. In this particular case here, oftentimes we as leaders, as people, do things that we don't always analyze the legal aspect of what we're doing. We don't think about the legal components of it. We'll think about it from a biblical perspective. We'll think about it from a church perspective or a social perspective, but we don't think about the legal perspective. The issue here, when a leader tells somebody, a leader, a person in authority, a person of influence, okay, such as a pastor or a teacher or a leader, someone who's in a position of authority. Now, this was the PAW's convention, okay? Pentecostal Association. Do you have that name, John? The Pentecostal Association of America?
We'll revisit that, but keep on going. We'll revisit that in a second.
Yeah, the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, okay? The Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. He was at their convention, and he is attempting to receive an offering. Well, now, John, can we keep this thing real on a Friday morning?
Let's keep it real on Friday.
Black folks raise offerings different from white folks.
Black church be doing things different than white church.
I remember when I grew up in a white church. I was at a attended a white church in Baton Rouge. Dr. Malelli, Christian Life Fellowship, John. Doc had the box outside of the church. They had little boxes outside of the church. And the offerings was put in the box as people leave the church. Okay, so he didn't receive offerings in church where they passed the basket. He didn't have people walk down, come down and touch the pastor's hand. He didn't have any of that. Okay,
I'm with you.
But in the black church, they want you to put the money in the bishop's hand.
This is all factual. This is all very factual. Yeah.
Those of you who in the comment box, am I telling the truth? Those of you who in the chat, y'all in the chat, am I telling the truth? Put the money in the bishop's hand. One. Number two, they want you to get up and walk when you bring, they want you to bring the offering to the front, right?
This is true.
And sometimes, I've seen some people go as far as says, I want all my tithers to stand up. I want all my tithers to stand up. And then, you know, that those tactics in the church, those tactics in the church of fundraising, many of those are highly acceptable in the black community.
In the black community, yeah.
In the black community.
Okay.
So when you have someone who says, close the doors, we want to raise $40,000, and you got these money lines, you know, where I need 100 people to give me $10, I need 200 people to give me this. All of these tactics, or some of these tactics, can be considered as coercion and manipulation. And when it falls into undue influence, now you almost have yourself a criminal act.
Let's pause real quick. I want you just to explain what coercion is. I didn't want to cut you, but I want you to explain what coercion is just so we're on the same page here and so we know what's really taking place.
Coercion is the use of force or threats, or here's the key, intimidation, to compel someone to act against their will. You see, it involves an actual or threatened harm. Now, in this case, he says, close the door, close the door. Okay. Is there a threat there? Is there any harm there? You can decide. It can be physical, emotional, financial, or reputational. If the victim feels that his will is overpowered, okay, or if someone used, they obtain consent by a silence or agreement from someone who's in authority. So that's coercion. Kind of making someone do something that's totally not against their will. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. That's coercion.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, you do have a valid point that yes, there is a way that the offering is done or giving is done in the black church. And then, let me say this. So what we see here, right, is that social media outlets have taken a clip of what took place at the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World Inc., right, the PAW, and this is an organizing body of the convention, right? So they're seeing a clip of him. Some might call it asking for an offering. Some might call it fundraising. Some might call it him forcing people to give. But either way, we see a clip of what was a longer conversation, or what was a longer, it was just longer, right? So we see 10 seconds, 30 seconds, and this is what we see. But the part for me, the part for me, Dad, was the part seeing where it seemed a little aggressive in the request. It seemed a little aggressive in the ask, right? It's one thing to say, here's the offering bucket. If you want to sow a seed, you want to give to the mission, you want to give to the call, to the cause, here's the bucket.
John, I'm going to push back. I mean, seeing or feeling is not necessarily a fact.
Okay.
In the law, we look at things objectively. It's got to be a clear fact. Something needs to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me just go on record and say, I don't feel that the bishop committed a crime. I don't feel that the bishop was necessarily wrong, but the way the offering was received, I wouldn't do it that way.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it that way.
Is there any legal proceedings currently that we know? Is there any lawsuits at hand, or is there anything like that going on as of currently?
Based on my team's research, based on what my staff has presented to me, I've not been able to find any legal action that anyone has taken regarding the way Bishop Sapp received this offering. Okay? And I'm glad for that. However, even though there may not have been any lawsuits filed, I hope there's been a lot of lessons learned. Lessons learned. When we tell somebody to close a door and restrict people from going in and out of a building, you're borderlining false imprisonment. And false imprisonment is restricting individuals from leaving a location without their consent can constitute false imprisonment, which is a civil and a potential criminal offense. You see, so that's where the real problem is. So when you go to tell somebody to close the door, so if these congregants felt that they were not free to exit, this could lead to a legal claim against the church or the leaders. False imprisonment. And people are looking for ways to make a quick buck, right? They're looking for ways to sue somebody.
Now that is very true. There's no current legal case or active case that we know about. Okay, according to your research, according to your team's research. Question for you: What if something? Can you just paint us a picture of what potentially could have happened if there was an incident during this time to where it could have led to legal proceedings? Can we just walk that down? Because I know me and you talked a little bit yesterday. Can you just paint that picture of what that could have looked like?
Yeah, this was risky and dangerous because in order to prove a claim or to prove a case for false imprisonment, you got to know that the person was intentionally confined. Mm-hmm. And based on what the bishop said, close the door, lock the doors, close the doors, whatever, shut the doors, whatever word you want to use. If the person was intentionally restrained, that's one thing. Now, without legal justification, was there a lawful reason for the authority to detain the person? That must be in place first. It must be intentional. There must be no lawful reason to do it. And it must be without the person's consent. The people did not agree to be confined. So now the question comes here is, did these people agree to be confined? You came to worship. You came to this event. You paid to enter in. You submitted to whatever was going on there. So I think that if I was the lawyer representing Bishop Sapp, I would have a strong case. I would say that it wasn't my intent to confine. And I would say my justification for doing this was for safety. We were receiving an offering, and I didn't want anybody else coming into the building and us being robbed at this hotel while we were receiving an offering. So that could have been legal justification there, okay? And when people come to be a part of a church service, or they join a bishop or a pastor, guess what else people consent to? John, people be consenting to falling over. When you come up for prayer and you let somebody raise your hand and they go pushing on you, Okay, you're consenting to that. And if you fall and bump your head, you're going to have a problem trying to sue somebody for that.
Okay? I never thought about that. Okay, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
All right.
You doing your head. I surrender. I'm up here. And you go fall back. It's going to be hard to sue somebody on something like this. It may be ugly, but it would be hard to sue them. And then if the victim is aware of the harm, the victim is either aware of the confinement or suffers harm from it. Now, this is what you're saying. Can I paint a scenario where somebody could suffer harm? For example, and this is just hypothetical, and I want to say that I don't feel that Bishop Sapp committed an offense. I don't feel that he committed any crime, and I'm pretty adamant about that. I feel strong about that, John. And however, I want to say very clearly, even though there are no lawsuits filed, there should be a lot of lessons learned here, and I would not receive an offering this way. Go ahead.
Yeah. I agree. Especially in terms of, I wouldn't want to receive, I wouldn't receive an offering this way. This wouldn't drive me to give. Okay.
Right.
Can you put it like that? I'm a Christian, right? I believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, all that, just so that we're clear. However, Marvin Sapp went on an interview on the Ricky Smiley Show, and I haven't seen him on another interview since, but he came on the interview. And then he began to talk about this situation, right, this incident. And in the interview, the part where he lost me, right, the part where he really lost me was the area to where he began to bring up other examples that had nothing to do with this situation. Okay, for me, it felt like it was a little bit of deflecting. And the reason why I say that is because he began to talk about how much he gives. He began to talk about him not taking an offering at his church. Bishop Sapp, that's irrelevant. If you accept the call to do ministry, it's nobody else's business how much you're, I didn't get paid for 16 years. Did you say that for every year to your congregation? No, I've been a part of a plant church. I've been a part of a plant church, Attorney Fred, and I didn't say anything to people about me going and buying groceries and bringing those in so we can have brunch during service and during fellowship. That has nothing to do with the current issue that we're talking about. We're talking about you pushing to raise money at a convention, and while you're pushing to raise money at this convention, people could have been put in harm's way or people could have felt threatened.
Yeah, they could have. That's what you could say. Could have. Now, John.
Talk to me. Talk to me, Dad. Talk to me.
Good morning. Good morning in the comments. What he made, the money he makes, the money he gave to his church, what he did in prior other occasions could be relevant information. It could be relevant. He could be demonstrating to the audience that he didn't need any money or that he wasn't in a position. I'm not saying that that's what he proved or that's what he was trying to prove, but I'm saying to you that those points could have been relevant. All of those could have been relevant. Now, you follow what I'm saying there?
I hear you. They could have been relevant. I hear you.
Now, as far as what he was doing at this convention here, he was at a convention.
Uh-huh.
Here's the danger. Number one, he makes himself liable. He could have been liable if he was found guilty of wrongdoing. He could have made the PAW assemblies, Pentecostal assemblies worldwide upon the PAW liable. And guess who else could have been liable?
Who's that?
That hotel could have been liable. And when we talk about liability, we're talking about deep pockets, right? And so every act of man that causes harm to another obliges him by whose fault it occurred to fix it. In the law, what do the law? The law says money makes the plaintiff whole. So you ask me what could have happened. I'll give you a scenario where someone could have been hurt. Let's say if there was a person in that audience who needed to leave in order to go take their medication or to go give themselves a shot. some type of medical shot. Mm-hmm. And they were in this church, in this event, and they needed to leave. And they got up to go. And one of the ushers says, you can't leave. And they said, you need to go sit back down. And let's just say they tell the usher or the person, I got to leave. I need to go take a shot for my whatever health condition. And that person was unable to take their shot. And let's just say that they were held in there for 30 minutes or an hour or some amount of time. It would have to be an unreasonable amount of time. And then afterwards, and they go and they don't make it. That as a result of not taking their shot, let's just say they die. I know that's an extreme scenario, but it's one that would make this point. Let's just say the person dies and they are taken to the hospital and the doctor says, if you have gotten here 30 minutes earlier, we could have saved your life. The lady said, I couldn't get here. I was told by the ushers to go sit down. The person in charge of the event said, close the door. I was restricted. I was restrained and I couldn't get to the hospital. And I'm only here an hour later. The family members are saying this, right? And the doctor said, if you'd have gotten him here 30 minutes earlier, we could have saved their life. John, somebody's got a problem on their hand. And that's what this kind of behavior could possibly have done or caused. That's the danger of this kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah, and just to your point, like a lot of lessons should be learned, a lot of lessons should be taken away. And I didn't, feeling how I felt and seeing what took place, what also I can say is I wasn't there. So I don't know what Bishop Sapp said before he did the call for offering. I don't know what he said after. In the clip that we saw, he said, because I never even saw the clip that far. Honestly, because he said, close the doors, close the doors, close the doors. But that's where social media cuts the clip. We don't see him crack the joke because the joke shows that the audience laughs, the audience engages. And this is also showing what? When people laugh or in laughter, this is lowering that that aggression, if you will. So I think this is also a great place to be. Just in terms of getting a little bit more clarity, is there anything else you want to share on this particular event and what took place here?
Oh yeah, John, there's some best practices here that all pastors, bishops, preachers, or leaders can put in place. There was something that the PAWs did immediately when this issue hit the news. Okay. Now, what you got to think about when you expose like this. When you are, you have a name, you are somebody who has a high level of popularity. Uh-huh. With that popularity come exposure, okay? And with that exposure, you gotta realize that you gotta always be defending and protecting your name, your image, your reputation. So the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World Incorporated, mm-hmm. immediately, John, issued a statement.
I didn't even know this. Okay.
Yes, sir. They issued a statement, and it's on the internet out there. So what I would say to anybody who finds themselves possibly exposed, I would say make sure that you issue a position statement, and that statement should be one that's presented by your legal counsel. Don't let the deacon send the statement out. Don't let the board send the statement out. Let that statement be written by legal counsel. And when you send out a statement by legal counsel, you immediately address the issue and you put the issue in perspective and you take control of the narrative. And that's what the PAWs did. They said, we support Bishop. We don't feel like he did anything wrong. I'm not quoting the statement. I'm just giving you the synopsis. That's the best practice for anybody who brings in a guest speaker or a keynote or a church leader. Be sure to take control of the narrative, okay? That's number one, John, number one. Can I tell you something?
Got it.
Oh, man, this gets me. John, do you ever seen those criminal cases on TV? One thing a good criminal lawyer never does, I won't say never, many times they do not let the defendant speak.
Okay. Why is this?
Most criminals are convicted by the words out of their own mouth. Other words, when we begin to talk, we give more fuel to the fire. Burt Robinson, you remember Burt. Burt told me years ago, he said, most people are convicted out of their own mouth. One of the best things you can do in this social media age, if you're on the hot seat, be quiet. Don't talk. Because the moment you get on a radio show or someplace else, the first thing you're going to do is be what? Defensive.
Naturally, yeah.
It's a natural instinct. You're going to be defensive. You're going to start explaining. And then you're going to bring up things that may not be relevant. And as a result, but they may be things that are enough to get you convicted of another offense that you may not have even thought of. So I would be very careful. I would let legal counsel. One thing I would say to your audience and to those listening, always let the legal, let the lawyer speak on your behalf. Because oftentimes lay people don't realize that the legal consequences of their words and of their actions. But I want to be clear. I don't think that the bishop did anything illegal or criminal. I don't think his intent was to cause harm to anybody. And I feel like the people gave consent and permission to be there while they was there. And if he didn't hold them but for a few minutes to receive an offering, he could have been asking the ushers to close the door to prevent criminals from coming in to rob the church of the offering. Many churches have been robbed. Many churches have been down in, South Carolina, North Carolina. You had this guy coming in and cause harm to the church. The church is in a very precarious position. And we have to do everything we can to protect the people in it and to protect those that are leading it. And as far as raising money, we got to raise money. Without money, the machine doesn't operate, right? But however, I would issue a strong warning against raising money this way. There may not be any lawsuits, but I hopefully we learn some lessons to not be as strong-arming when it comes down to raising offerings. Those are my thoughts on Bishop Sapp.
All right. Thank you so much, Attorney Jones. Attorney Jones. And y'all, this is Speak Your Success in the Morning. We are 31 minutes after the hour. And y'all, this is your favorite morning show. We're coming to you live every morning, Monday through Friday. We wanted to come in today, wanted to just get out a quick episode, and just we wanted to just approach this topic so you all have some more information and so you all have some more insight about what took place, but also even some lessons, just like Attorney Jones said, some lessons that we can take away and ultimately to where we can really learn from the situation. Attorney Jones, how can people find you, connect with you? Please let us know at this time.
Just write this number down, real simple, 318-617-7190. 318-617-7190. Phone Fred first. If you got any legal issue or any legal question, I'll answer the phone and talk with you about it. Phone Fred first, 318-617-7190. Milana, good to see you. Thank you, Milana Da Muse, in the comments there, John. She said,
excellent, excellent. Milana, hey, good morning. All right, we're going to go ahead and close this one out. Everybody, thanks so much for taking the time to hop in and taking the time to join us here at Speak Your Success in the Morning. I'm Jonathan Jones. That was Attorney Jones, Attorney Fred Jones. And we just want to continue to, like I said before, we're going to continue to educate you. We're going to continue to elevate you. But ultimately, we want to make sure that together we can grow, we can move forward, and we can be what the community is all about. All right, so that's my final thought. And I'm going to close it out like I always do. Family, remember, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?